Welcome to Journey's Fire. I'm Richard Brendan. You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about awakenings and the need to awaken, not only collectively, but also individually. The prophet Joan Bosinko, and also a great author, had a lot to say about that. In her book, A Woman's Book of Life, she says, "We are awakening to a recognition of the sacred in daily life, a deep gratitude for the wonders of the world and the delicate web of interconnectedness between people, nature, and things. We are awakening to a recognition that true intimacy based on respect and love is the measure of a life well lived." It's a joy for me to have Adrienne Viegas make a return visit. Actually, I believe this is her third time in studio. She's from Indianapolis. She's somebody I have long respected with her gifts and talents and really assisting individuals to wake up to the wonder of who they are. And a number of other things. We're going to be talking about that. Adrienne Viegas is a certified healing touch energy practitioner. She began studying energy work in 2008 and became a practitioner in 2011 through Healing Beyond Borders. Also, she carries an Associates of Science degree in kinesiology. She's very into the shift. We're going to be talking about that, too. A lot of you who listen to shows like this are aware of that term, but maybe some aren't. And she likes to have that encompassed in her daily work. She's also passionate about practicing, coaching, and raising the vibe for those on a healing and self-empowering journey. I've had a few sessions with Adrienne over the years, and they've always been amazing to me. She's a very gifted intuitive. So, Adrienne, first of all, thank you for fighting the traffic. This is the first week of school at this university, and you found parking. That's a good sign. But I've always appreciated everything you're about, and I've been watching you grow and unfold more and more. So let's just step right into this, the things that have been on your heart about ushering an awakening. What is that for you? What does that mean?
Well, thank you so much for your wonderful compliments, Richard. For me, it's been about awakening to myself and my own patterns that were made of fear or indoctrination, those things to stop me from being progressive and whole in everything that I do. So just not really being able to be my authentic self, because there's been a fear of disappointing other people or not being enough, just self-judgment and all those things. So I've really been doing everything I can to clear out those patterns for myself. Mm-hmm. And I recognize my patterns when I begin to get emotional. And so if I start observing myself and my, how I feel in my body, and when I begin to get emotional and I stop and I say, okay, what is it that's creating this inside of me? Why am I having this response or reaction? And I really listen to my heart, and I find the root of it. And I have to ask myself, is that my truth? Is that true? Is this fear valid? Is that really going to happen? Mm-hmm. And I have to just really bring that to my consciousness and look at it wholly so that I can let it go. Mm-hmm. And I can come from a different space.
Yeah.
So I can come from a whole space.
Yeah. Although young, I've always seen you as an old soul. And I'm wondering, at what age were you becoming aware of maybe some of these deeper things? I have found that a lot of intuitives, for example, often had experiences when they were kids. Maybe it wasn't encouraged, maybe they denied it, but it was always an awareness about them as they were growing up. Mm-hmm. Would that be something that you can register with?
Yeah, I really did feel I had some magic when I was growing up. There was times where I would find charms or something like that, it would mean something to me. Like, I found a charm, a hawk charm. And I didn't know why, but I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I really held that dear and near to my heart. So I always had a sense that there was something, magical about me.
Yeah. What got you into healing touch many years ago?
So I experienced healing touch through a family member. And, I was in college and I had three small children. Mm-hmm. And I was really stressed out. I was on a bad pattern of staying up all night long and getting homework done and then trying to get up early with kids. And I just really wasn't feeling like my best self.
Yeah.
I really just felt like exhausted.
Well, it doesn't sound like you had time to take care of yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
You squeeze it in where you can get it in. So after my healing touch session, I know I laid down with all the stress of what am I going to do? Children are misbehaving and I've got papers to write and, just to do, and just overwhelmed with stress. And so I I conceded to a healing touch session, and I woke up like fresh and new. Like, I just got out of a salt bath. All my stress was gone. I was just like, well, we'll get through it. They're kids. This is just how life is for a little while. And I went back home, and I, you know, had open arms, and I was so happy to see my family. And, you know, when I left, I was so happy to get a break. So I just really came back into it like a whole new mom.
Yeah. Share a little bit about Healing Touch for those who aren't familiar with that. And is it a cousin, you might say, of Reiki and some other modalities?
So Healing Touch was developed by Janet Mipgum. She is an RN, and right now I cannot remember what year it was, but so she and a group of other nurses developed this energy curriculum, basically, and they took other meditations and guidance from other healers, and they created a curriculum that is being used in the medical industry, in hospitals, wellness centers, hospice, being used with hospice patients. And basically, it has been scientifically proven to help boost the immune system, help decrease stress, really helps serve cancer survivors or people who are going through chemo. It helps us to calm the, you know, the bioenergy, the nervous system, the immune system, and just really kind of helping you to let go of the stress and the pressure so your body can heal itself the way it was designed to heal. So it's a hands-on technique, just like Reiki. I haven't got Reiki training, so I cannot compare the two. I know that I am in love with my education. I took five levels of classes, and I had to do a year's mentorship, which they kind of described, you can describe it as getting a master's degree in energy work. So it's very detailed, lots and lots of work.
Well, I remember when I had my first Healing Touch session with you, it was very powerful because I felt lighter afterwards. It was almost like you were able to shift things around. Would that be an accurate way?
Everybody has a different experience. Some people say they feel like they were enlightened. Some people say that they had a sense of, you know, some kind of an energy. They didn't quite know what it was, but they felt like it, you know, raised off of them, you know, and drifted off. And some people feel like there's extra hands helping, so they feel like there's an angelic presence at times. And some people sleep and don't feel a thing, and other people will talk to me through the whole thing.
Yeah, the sleeping part I get, especially after a yoga class when you put the iPads on.
It's very similar. It's a very similar feeling of enlightenment.
Have you ever had anybody cry? In other words, I've heard stories where old wounds opened up
for sure
in sessions like that.
Definitely. Lots of tears. Lots of tears for sure. And that's, I desire that. I want people to have those moments. And
the things we're talking about, well, the things we're talking about, really the root of all of it is energy, which still fascinates me to this day, the power of that. Speak also to what you got a degree in kinesiology. I remember, well, years ago when it really started to get popular, but for those who aren't familiar with that term, share what that is.
So kinesiology is the study of the workings of the human body. I have an associate's. I was going for radiology to be x-ray tech in college, and so I started off you know, getting all my science courses out of the way, but I was introduced to Healing Touch in college, and that, like, shifted every idea of what I wanted to do. So basically, it's the understanding of how the body works. So it allows me to understand, you know, psychology. It allows me to understand, you know, the different systems and the organs. It allows me to visualize those organs and systems and cells, because a lot of what I do, your imagination is kind of like your connection, like your energetic connection. So it's a visualize, and then, you know, visualize myself sending energy to the different organs, or, you know, or the cells. Like, if I can imagine, you know, if we're dealing with, you know, a cancer cell, a tumor or something like that, I can visualize the organ, and I can, you know, intuitively connect and ask what I need to do to help it heal and work away at it, basically.
Well, and also in kinesiology, can't you also help an individual even know what types of food perhaps to eat? I mean, some practical things.
There's a great diet portion. There, psychology, we can start with, okay, so when did your fear start, you know? And then when they can link up with, you know, a crisis in their mind, they can say, yeah, that's probably why my body hurts there too, and it started right about the same time. So
yeah.
It's just the understanding of how it all works together, and if you have that, you know, spiritual peace, then it just helps make it all make sense.
Yeah.
Because there's so much, you know, what's going on in your mind is a reflection of what's going on in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so and when you feel compromised, mm-hmm. then your body begins to feel compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
and that's you know, feeling compromised is such a spiritual thing. It's such a spirit breaking, mm-hmm. you know, part.
And everything we're talking about really has everything to do with what many are calling awakening, ushering mm-hmm. an awakening. We need an awakening. I'm hearing a lot of people say that mm-hmm. given the state of the world these days.
Mm-hmm.
Share with my listeners what that means to you.
Well, I believe that the awakening has to happen at the individual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to start becoming aware of ourselves, most importantly. I work for an elementary school in a special education room, and my children have a lot of behaviors, but they want to tell on each other. And I'm like, well, we can't control anyone but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that even adults need to remember. So, you know, okay, I see that this person's having a problem, but, you know, maybe I have that problem and I should just take care of myself too. You know, it's everything is so much a reflection of ourself. And so when we see other people having a meltdown, then it's actually a time to kind of withdraw and reflect and, you know, ask yourself, where do I struggle in that place?
Yeah.
You know, and when you can find that little truth and you're able to be more compassionate for others when they're going through their
mm-hmm.
struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in that compassion, you will find that you don't necessarily have to say anything or do anything, but just to be present and
mm-hmm.
allow
mm-hmm.
so that they can have their moment of truth. They can have their aha moment.
Yeah, I'm chuckling right now because here in the studio, Adrienne got the bad chair, and I was watching her like the witch in the Wizard of Oz melt into the floor. So I think we're just going to leave this into the broadcast.
I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah, that is totally fine. Tell me. I know you're passionate about these things that we're talking about, but also when we were talking earlier about ushering an awakening, how do you see your role? What is your calling that's on your heart that lights your fire? When you look at your life, when you look at the talents and gifts that you've been given and how you've been sharing them with so many, share a little bit more about that.
So my journey has, you know, led me to be this person that I am, and I've had to do so much self-work. I've had to, I'm also an empath and a channel. So I've had to do so much personal work, and I did a lot of channeling for myself and a lot of meditation for myself. Just I feel like I'm in walking meditation most days, but just a lot of self-reflection. And I found patterns in, you know, the people that were coming to me, and I found, you know, a lot of truths in reflection. And so as I have slowly let go of these patterns that aren't serving me anymore, whether it's like the pattern of avoiding housework or, you know, the pattern of having my ego triggered or, you know, the patterns of fear, when I start like pulling those apart and examining those things,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to progress. I'm
mm-hmm.
able to move forward in places that I felt like I was blocked. I wasn't able to be my whole self,
yeah.
you know, or my highest self.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't be in love in those places. And I want to constantly be in love. That
mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy to some people, but I just feel whole and better to be able to be my highest self and to be giving love in every situation and not allow my ego to disrupt, you know, my world. So in finding those things for myself, I started writing things down, and I've started sharing that with my clients and with the students. I've been teaching an intro to empath class, which has evolved into evolution of the empath,
mm-hmm.
Where I teach people how to keep themselves centered and protect their energy, raising their vibration so that they can be a healer just by being present.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people don't get that. How do you raise your vibration piece? But it's, you know, a good high vibe daily mantra that you tell yourself, that you decide to, you know, I'm going to create my highest self.
Mm-hmm.
Decide, you know, what that looks like for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd start there. And then I would start telling yourself every day, you know, three times a day, this is who I am. These are the patterns that I create. And just stick with it. And you'll slowly watch yourself, you know, becoming a higher version of yourself.
Yannica, so much what you do in your teaching and in your coaching is helping others be more energetically aware, and that's what you're really talking about.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Just being aware of yourself energetically. And when we get that self-awareness piece out of the way and we start accepting ourselves and having compassion for ourselves, we begin to notice that everybody else around us is human too, and they need compassion and they need someone to allow them to move through their shifts.
Don't you find that most people, unless they're really doing some deep work, are probably living lives less than what they could be living because perhaps they're not aware of
Absolutely.
A lot of this. Because we do get programmed, don't we? I
For
mean,
sure.
Every book we've read these days reminds us and teaches us that unconsciously through the years, call it agreements, call it scripts we've written or picked up, we become people we weren't really called to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel like I have such a strong idea of what my spirit is. I feel like I've always had that I just could tell that I wasn't living that, you know, I wasn't allowing for that high part of myself to be in control. And so as I've been able to clear myself, I've been able to give other people the tools to help clear themselves as well.
For you, was that just a process of staying with it day
for
after
sure.
day
I
after
still,
day?
I still, every day, you have to. If you decide that you're important enough, you know, that you have to have self-care and self-discipline. You know, self-discipline is a big part of self-care. And if you're not deciding, I'm going to love myself every single day. I'm going to stick to this whole food diet every single day. I'm going to drink water every single day. And you start to fall off, then, you know, you're slipping back into your old patterns. But when you make the decision that you are going to program and change yourself for the good and you are intent about it, then you can do it.
One of the things I've been impressed by you, because you take a holistic approach. It's not only the head knowledge for awareness, but you also talk about a holistic life. Healthy foods, you mentioned drinking water, all those things play in. Indeed, they're all necessary if you really want to see profound change in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, I've just, my body just can't handle some things anymore. I know, I think a lot of us have been deemed gluten intolerant recently. I've just watched myself let go of things that hurt my body little by little. I'm just very conscious and aware of what I put in my body and how I feel after. I know I talk to a lot of clients about food journals and things like that. You know, if your body's hurting, what's the first thing that you ask yourself? What did I eat? So, and you know, and your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system is right in alignment with your stomach. And so much of what we eat affects our nervous system and our stress centers. The sympathetic part of your nervous system detects it controls fight or flight, you know. So if you stimulate your fight or flight with some kind of food that's just awful, then, you know, you're going to feel like you're in fight or flight all day long, and you're going to have that kind of, you know, communication with the people around you. So what you eat very much, you know, kind of decides how you behave.
Yeah, I think it's essential. Speak a little bit more about gluten and gluten-free food, because more and more of my friends are coming to that realization. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. They found that by letting go of gluten and so many products, they were actually feeling better. They had more energy.
Yeah. So I feel like for myself, since I've been able to let go of it, and it was really, really hard because I like chocolate cake and French bread, you know, those things are fantastic.
Yes.
And I had to walk away from that. It's awful, but oh my gosh, it is so worth it not to feel in pain, you know?
That's a shame, because Thomas and I were going to present you with a delicious chocolate cake after we were done. So you can just bring that back to the other kids in the studio.
You can. It doesn't bother me a bit.
That's part of the discipline, though, you're talking
about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You've got to want where you want to be in your life enough
absolutely.
To start making those sacrifices. And I think that's where people trip up. They haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my drive is a little different because I am an intuitive. And so it's really my mission to get as clear as I can, you know, whether it be with, you know, bread or alcohol or, you know, sugar, you know, any of those things. So I do have a lot of self-discipline when it comes to food. What my idea is that, you know, a lot of the genetically modified plants, they were genetically modified to withstand the elements of nature so that they could be stronger and they could, you know, be preserved longer. You know, whatever the point of it is, I just feel like we're nature. And so our natural, you know, digestive process isn't able to break down this food that's been created, you know, to be more solid, you right. know, so we're not really digesting it.
Yeah.
So
part of that holistic approach that you take when you work with clients is you're looking at their diet, you're looking at the types of food they eat, but you're also dealing with the mind, the thoughts that they give themselves.
For sure.
The feeling, perhaps with healing touch or other modalities, helping them learn more about their energy.
For sure.
To shift it around even a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing that when one goes through a process like that, you just feel different. It's yeah. life-changing.
It is life-changing. It's weird. Like, people didn't realize that it worked like that. You
yeah.
know, it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was even possible, but my neck pain just, like, popped up and left me. Yeah, mm-hmm. people don't realize that that's a possibility, that that can happen.
I know you're a great mom. You adore your kids. You also work with kids. How hard is it to teach this stuff to kids? So they can get it at a very early age. So many of us learned it along the way a little bit later in life.
You know, you got to squeeze it in where you can. Mm-hmm. You know, the mm-hmm. kids, the kids that I work with and my own kids, they have a lot going on in their mind. And so I try to reflect truth, you know, at their level.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's just, you know, that's who I am at all times. I usually am reflecting somebody's truth that I could see. And so I'm constantly like, well, let's rethink that. And, you know, let's put some logic behind this. And, you know, we can only control ourselves, that kind of stuff, you
right.
know.
Right.
So it's just, you got to kind of get it in where you can. But more importantly, you have to be the example mm-hmm. of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You got to walk your talk.
Absolutely. Even yeah. if you're not talking, you
yeah.
got to walk, period.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give them something to aspire to or something to admire or something to say, that's different than, you mm-hmm. know, she's a little different than, you know, my parents at home, or she's a little different from other, you know, other adults that they've met, you know, and it kind of, it gets their attention. And,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, at work, I really just try and be their friend and identify
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, being present to them and raising my vibration. That really helps them to feel safe and secure and to
yeah.
be able to let go of the fear that creates the patterns that they're not able
yeah.
to, you know, work through on their own. And just, you know, being present to anyone.
Yes.
You know, without having to say a thing is very often enough.
Perhaps the greatest gift,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Absolutely.
I learned that in my hospice work, that sometimes by saying nothing but learning more about energy and simply providing a healing presence provided more healing for them emotionally than anything else I could have said.
For sure.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about ushering and awakening, though, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You said it first starts with individuals. It reminds me of Gandhi's famous quote, be the peace that you want to see in the world. That's
mm-hmm.
really what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
As a fellow global citizen, let me ask you, because a lot of people I know are bummed out, they're angry, the Amazon forest is taking place, politics, we won't even go there right now. Where are you on all of that in terms of hope for a more collective awakening to take place? Do you believe that can be possible?
For sure. I feel like we're all collectively awakening with each
mm-hmm.
one of these things that are in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel
mm-hmm.
like the media is reflecting this huge picture that lies within individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think what we all need to reflect on, how am I, you know, contributing to that, or how am I helping that? How am I serving that? You know,
yeah.
I think that's really the biggest message of, you know, what is being reflected back to us in the
mm-hmm.
world, is we have to start doing some work in order to help, you know, the whole. That's pretty much it. That's my stance. What can I do? Where
yeah.
can I? What can I do to serve that?
Yeah. Let's talk about empathics. You've been teaching a lot on that lately, and you are one. I've been one for quite some time, and the negative side, the downside, is you feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
The positive side is you feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those things that you feel, or the pain of another person, once again, it's that awareness and
mm-hmm.
not learning how to, I guess, set boundaries or protect yourself, whatever you what term you use for your clients. But talk about what an empathic is, who that person is, some of the characteristics, because we probably have some listeners who are
mm-hmm.
empathic and just didn't know it, but others just kept criticizing them. Oh, you're just too sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an empath is someone whose nervous system is basically picking up the signals from other people's radio stations. Like, well, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. their nervous system is strong enough to sense what your nervous system is saying, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so that lets, you know, that's science. Let's bring it there. That's not hokey pokey. And it's like they experience that, like, it's happening to them. So even if it's not. And the way that that happens is that if that experience has happened to you in some frequency, in some way, maybe not exactly, you know, we may not have had the exact same type of trauma, but at a certain frequency, it is very similar. Mm-hmm. And so when an empath meets someone else who has, you know, trauma and stress that kind of matches theirs, it gets highlighted within them and it like comes up. And it's almost like it creates that ADD factor. Well, I don't know why I couldn't stay focused because my mind just kept going this place, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's almost, some people are just completely unaware that that's what is happening. And they're like diagnosing themselves with ADD. But really it's like, they just don't know how to stay centered when they're sensing other people's thoughts and emotions. So anyway, through self-observation, asking mm-hmm. myself, why am I feeling this way, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And then paying attention to, you know, the people around me. Sometimes even asking, you know, for a long time I asked, is somebody getting a headache, you know, and I would find my person. But there's so much of that that we really need to not put off those feelings on other people, you know.
Yeah.
So when you are empathizing with another person and you are matching that person, that's magic. It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. But if that person feels really crummy, then it's like two people feel really crummy. And now what? Like, what do we do here?
Yeah.
What do we do with that? Just two people feeling crummy.
Right.
Well, that's not helpful to anyone. So if you're aware enough to understand that you're empathizing with that person, you know, taking a moment to go into your heart center, you know, mm-hmm. and feeling your heartbeat mm-hmm. and just really allowing your heart to shift you back, you know, into your higher vibration mm-hmm. and extend that love to the person that you're were matching, mm-hmm. you know, without, again, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, especially when you, you know, feel like it might be a dangerous situation. You don't want to put yourself in a position where somebody doesn't want your help, you know, but take yourself back to your heart center and, you know, offer a prayer within yourself, or, you know, visualize sending that person love, or, you know, whatever, you know, love looks like to you, you know, visualize sending that person some love.
Yeah.
And make sure that you disconnect. You use your little finger scissors and pretend like you disconnect so that you don't stay on that vibration with you when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, I like to teach empaths about protecting their energy, because that's really important.
What is it about empaths who always seem to draw either narcissists, call them that, or energy vampires into their lives?
I don't like narcissist. I hate that word.
Yeah?
Because that's such a judgment word, mm-hmm, you know? And mm-hmm. it's like they're not meeting what I think is the definition of right, mm-hmm, you know, or mm-hmm. or behaving like a, you know, person should be. So I'm going to label them a narcissist because they don't look the way I think they should. Mm-hmm. They don't act the way I think that they should. I just don't like the word narcissist. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to reflect on everybody that we meet and ask yourself, what is this person reflecting about me?
Yeah.
What do I need to change inside myself?
Yeah.
And when we can find it, when we can be real with ourselves and honest with ourselves, and it might not be at the, you know, big waving red flag that that person comes at as, you know, but there may be just a little bitty bit of mm-hmm. something going on inside of you that that person is reflecting. Mm-hmm. So if you can be honest with yourself and you can find that place mm-hmm. and you can forgive yourself, find compassion for it and allow it to leave, then you change your vibration and you don't attract people mm-hmm. that are going to drive you crazy until you figure it out.
So changing the vibe.
Changing yourself changes the vibe.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. First on the inside, then the outside.
Absolutely. You stop. It's magnetic attraction. Mm-hmm. And it's called magnetic attraction because there's some part of you that matches mm-hmm. their magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if you can clear it, then they won't come back.
Your take on narcissists, I appreciate it. Reminds me, and you might want to check him out sometime. He's long since passed away, but there's a radical psychiatrist by the name of Thomas Szasz. I learned about him in grad school, and it was his belief, he was way ahead of his time, that we should not use labels for anybody. Because once a person, let's say they're on medication for schizophrenia or whatever, once they get that, we can't help but want to treat them that way. We see them as a label mm-hmm. instead of an individual. It's kind of your take on it, too, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a meditation not too long ago about that. It was funny. I started off seeing these little baby sheep or lambs or mm-hmm. something, you know, and one, there was three black and three white, and they were all, you know, facing each other, and then it was like a little pinball game or something where they were pushing balls back and forth. And then the thought that came over my mind was that one is not better than the other. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no good and there's no bad. They're both equal, and that it's a judgment to say that it's bad because it looks like this. You know, and you know, and everything. You know, if you're you know, in a place where you have really been practicing enlightenment, you know that every single thing is love. Mm-hmm. That everything comes into your world to change you and mm-hmm. to make you a better person, to make you mm-hmm. a whole person. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people that will argue that with me. So mm-hmm. I'll say that that's been my experience.
Yeah.
Everything from my, you know, perspective is meant to strengthen us. I mean, even if you, you know, don't kill a bacteria, it can turn into a superbug. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like the natural process of life.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and that's why all the great mystics, the term people would use is they believed in non-duality. There wasn't a right, wrong, either, or. So Rumi says, out beyond the fields of right doing and wrong doing, out beyond those, there's a field. I'll meet you there.
That's my favorite.
And that's how you're trying to live, and that's where you're trying to take your clients to get them to get that.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The spiritual guidance counseling that I've been doing, I've been working with, you know, some people that are just trying to sort through the stresses that they're going through. And if I can, you know, shift their thoughts into, you know, allowance of what's happening mm-hmm. so that they can gain strength mm-hmm. instead of fighting and pushing it away. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like when you embrace things in every aspect of your life, that's when you get to learn from it and then move through. Yeah. You know, that's when your shift takes place. So you get to move out of this place after you embrace it and find everything that it has to teach you.
So it's almost like a three-step process, I see, that you help your clients go through as you are doing ING for all of us. We never really fully arrive, right? We always have a little bit of a shadow that comes up, but it doesn't have to control us.
Right.
But the first step is always the awareness. First and most important, because a lot of people are walking around unaware. It's not their fault. They just been programmed. They didn't know.
For sure.
Which is why sometimes it often takes a crash in their life, hit rock bottom, whatever, to kind of wake up to that. The second step, and what you so artfully are able to do, is give them the talents and tools and insights to then begin the transformation. Mm-hmm. To begin to flip it. Could be day to day, could be moment to moment in mm-hmm. the course of a day. Mm-hmm. But then once we do that and start practicing that, almost like a habit, then comes the mastery. Then it's like, now I know what to do. Now my life is feeling lighter. I'm taking my hands off everything. And when something does come in, a wave, and throws me off a bit, I have now the tools that you help your clients get mm-hmm. in knowing how to handle that themselves.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of different ways.
I also want to talk about your intuitive practice that you have, because that's how I initially got to know your work, having a session with you, and I found you incredibly intuitive. How did you know you had that gift? Did that come early for you? You just had a sense of things?
Yeah. Like I said, as a child, I knew that I was gifted in that way, but it wasn't time to use that gift. So I would say probably my early 30s, like mm-hmm. right after my third child, mm-hmm. I asked for it, and I didn't realize the power of my intention behind my asking.
Wow.
And it was, everything.
You mean you got what you asked for?
Exactly. Gee. What I asked for. But I'll tell you, I quickly asked for it to stop because it was overwhelming. And I've had since then to take steps at building, mm-hmm. you know, and slowly being able to handle some things. And
How does that work for you? Everyone who are intuitives probably have different stories, but how does that process work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a feeling, a sense? I don't know.
So it's feeling mostly. Mm-hmm. It's, okay. You know, the empath, I think, is what happened first, becoming an empath. I felt like it started with sensing spirits in my home. Mm-hmm. And then that created questions, you know, that led me to start really researching other, you know, ideologies beyond the one that I, you know, had been introduced to that I hadn't put a whole lot of effort into understanding. And then that became a quest for learning about everyone else's ideologies about said subjects. Mm-hmm. And when I mastered the ability to, I don't know if master is ever really used by a master, to be quite honest with you, that word is, I don't think I'm really a master of anything. But when I was able to, like, clear my house out, and not have to deal with that anymore, not have to deal with that sense and that present, you know, sense and those energies, then I felt like, you know, something else opened up. I became more aware of the energies of myself and of my children. And then I started hearing my neighbor's thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, and so I was hearing the energetic waves coming from my neighbors. And, you know, then I was like, okay, something is definitely going on. So there's way more in here than, you know, I thought I was working with.
Yeah.
And I would go to Inner Path and I would have psychic readings done, and they would all tell me, you know, you could do this, don't you? Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. They keep saying that, but I obviously am here, you know?
Yes, right.
But I think one time I went for a reading while I had a spirit in my home, and she said, your light is so bright and they just follow you. I was like, oh, is that what's happening? Why is that why they keep showing up? And so I just have just slowly, I have just let go of like one false belief after another that's covered up, you know, the magic that I am. Mm-hmm. And I've become stronger and stronger intuitively.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So when a person comes to you, we have people listening probably all around the world, since this is on iTunes and other outlets like that as well, besides the radio station here. Take them through what an intuitive session might look like. Because I know a lot of people are always curious about that, right? It's always popular. Mm-hmm. Bookstores have people come in, you know, and provide those. But and I've worked with you before, but just to give them an idea, because I would encourage them to want to reach out, what would that look like? So you're meeting them. Do you use cards? Is it just one-on-one and you're sensing their energy?
Well, I mean, it really could be anything that I wanted it to be. Okay. I meditate for my clients before I see them, for no matter what. You know, if I'm seeing somebody for empath coaching or if I'm having an energy session, I will meditate and I will ask their highest self what I can do to serve their highest good. I'm not going to pretend like I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've used cards before. I think you and I, we've done tarot readings with my angel cards. I wouldn't call them tarot cards, but mm-hmm. my angel cards. I've gotten to the point where, you know, I can just ask their highest self what's going on and help them make those shifts that they need to mm-hmm. and listen and mm-hmm. You know, energetically connect. You know, mm-hmm. I can... And just guidance, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, just again being present,
yes,
and listening to their truths,
yes,
you know, and helping them pull their own truths apart.
Have you ever felt led to walk up to a stranger because you sense something about them?
No.
No.
They come up to me.
They come up to you.
They
so
come up to me.
Strangers have come up to you.
They do.
Yeah.
And I don't always understand it. Like, uh-huh. when I was in college, I would go to Starbucks and I would try to get homework done because my kids at home, you know, and I would swear to God, I would close my book and I would just talk to somebody for 3 hours.
Yes.
And that's what they needed.
Yes.
You know, they needed somebody. And I remember the next time I was like, okay, God, I cannot go to Starbucks and talk to somebody for 3 hours. I have got to study.
Yeah.
And my car broke down. It would not start. So I had to find another place.
Science
and it was fine later. It was fine later.
Of course it was.
I was like, okay.
Well, and when an individual can learn how to live this way, the way we're talking about, you will be guided by signs, synchronicities, intuition. And it's just, actually, it's it's a more fun way to live, and certainly more healthy, more productive. You'll have more energy. You help clients do that so very well. I got to ask, when are you going to write a book?
I got a few.
Because, yeah, you just need a tape record. You're going to have a book right there.
You're right. I do need a tape record myself. Mm-hmm. I have a couple. I'm channeling angelic healing ceremonies, like shamanic, mm-hmm. angelic healing meditations, guidance. Yeah. I'm not really sure what the finished project of that's going to look like. I'm really allowing them to, you know, take control of that.
Yeah.
And then I'm always working on my intro to empath or evolution of the empath. Mm-hmm. I'm always working on making that stronger. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm always working on making myself stronger.
Yeah.
So as I grow, that grows. And yeah. I'm able to offer more insights.
Yeah.
You know, to...
Well, and for individual sessions, and also occasionally you'll put together a workshop, mm-hmm. and I know you post those for sure mm-hmm. On Facebook, mm-hmm. but probably if you had people's emails, you could send information out to them too.
For sure.
Why don't you share your contact information, best contact information, so people know how to get a hold of you?
Okay. Well, you can find me at Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar in Greenwood, Indiana. Let me see the website. I can say the website for that. That is... Materia Medica Spa, all one word, .com, and then /contact us/. Mm-hmm. And you can find out what Materia Medica has to offer and what I have to offer with them. What I do at Materia Medica is I offer 90-minute energetic sessions with a 30-minute with a 30-minute consultation and 60 minutes of energy work. And then I also offer spiritual guidance counseling, empath coaching, and intro to energy classes,
yeah.
and energy coaching. And you can contact me personally to schedule. I also do distance work. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling really good about my distance game.
Okay.
I've had a lot of really good feedback. So. You know, I can work with people across the country. But my email is B as in boy, L as in love, E as in egg, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, B as in boy, Y as in yellow. The number is 888@gmail.com.
Blessed by 888. I like that. And by the way, Materia Medica, I've been there. That is a gorgeous place. For those of you listening in the central Indiana area, and specifically Indianapolis, it used to be the old Jonathan Bird's, but inside is totally changed.
It's
There's
amazing.
A lot of cool businesses in there, by the way. Mm-hmm. But you guys, I believe, are upstairs.
Mm-hmm, on the second floor.
And it is just really beautiful. They do good work there. And so it's great energy also to have a session as mm-hmm. well. But I'm glad to hear that the long distance game is going well because so many people are now getting into that and you're doing it as well. So if you're listening long distance, you'll want to have a session long distance. We can do that too. You don't have to come to the Indianapolis area.
Right. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Definitely do that.
Adrian Villegas, it has been a joy. It's always inspirational when you come onto the program. I want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing and absolutely for the light that you shine in our community.
Awesome. Thank you. And you as well.
It's always a joy to have Adrian on the program. And again, the contact information is blessedby888@gmail.com or go to materiamedicaspa.com. And on the contact page, you'll be able to reach her. I want to thank you for joining me today. That is today's program. I want to thank my engineer, Thomas Gismondi, and as always, my production coordinator, Angel Richardson, for helping to make this possible. I'm Richard Brendan. You've been listening to Journey's Fire.